Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And our thanks to our sponsors, our thanks to Radio America, and more importantly, our thanks to you for joining us here on Home and Family Finance. The name of the show should be, and I'm going to change it to Financially Fit One Day, because that's what we really want to make sure you are in every respect. Today we're going to be talking about insurance, and I know a lot about insurance, you've heard a lot about it, but not necessarily the way we're going to talk about it and the type of insurance we're going to talk about it. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about the importance of being financially fit. You know what I'm saying, because I say it to you every week. Are you making more than you spend? Or are you spending more than you make? You're not going to be financially fit if you're spending more than you make. You're going to be in financial trouble sooner or later. And I also want you to have 6 months of survival funds. Remember that? In your savings, I can't touch this account fund. You're going to put away 6 months. You're going to add up all of your expenses, whatever it is, on a monthly basis, including your note, your either mortgage or your rent, whatever, your insurance, your food cost, everything. And each month, you're going to as often as you can, as quickly as you can, you're going to save that. Put that in your survival fund times six so that if something happens, and it always will, you can say, hey, wait a minute, I'm okay. I've got 6 months here and we can live until we either get another job or we move or whatever it has to, you have to do to get yourself back in an earning state, okay? I also want you to put aside what I call emergency funds. These emergency funds are not your survival funds. These emergency funds keep you from touching your survival funds. When your son or daughter, your friend, your mom, dad say, listen, I really need a little help, you don't have to go into your survival funds. That is not to be touched, folks. Period. It's there for you for 6 months, okay? And I know you're going to say, how do I do that? If you take your time and go through this, you can make this happen. Put that away. Have it in at your disposal. 6 months of survival funds. The emergency funds you use as you may. You can decide whether or not if somebody needs help, you help them. If they don't, or you don't want to, you don't have to. But if you do decide to help, you don't have to touch your survival funds. And finally, I want you to save at least 5%. Of everything you make, every moment of every day, 5%, put it away. It's not a lot, and I know it's going to be tough, but put away that 5%. You would be surprised how much that's going to add up to and how quickly you're going to have something to rely on. And you'll thank us for that, okay? Financially fit, that's what I mean by that. Now, you can grow that into anything you want, but let that be your starting point. Now, let's get back to insurance. Oh, my goodness. We've heard about it every day on the news, but not the kind of insurance I'm talking about. I'm talking about life insurance. And do you know what we found out, or at least Laura Adams, who is author and spokesperson for insurance quotes, she is a senior insurance analyst for insurance quotes, and she's host of a top-rated weekly Money Girl podcast, author of several books. But they recently did a survey. And in that survey, guess what they found out? That many of you are skipping the idea of life insurance. Just don't have it. Not interested. Won't do it. Won't buy it. And it's not just because of the cost. And that's what we want to find out from Laura about this, and the danger that you leave yourself in, if any, and how you should catch up if you haven't, and why it's important to have it. Please welcome to the program Laura Adams. Laura, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Folks, let me just give you, when I bring somebody to you, I bring to you the best of the best. Laura is the senior insurance analyst for Insurance Quotes. She's host of the, as I said, the top-rated weekly Money Girl podcast. She's frequently quoted in the media, has been featured on several programs. She knows what she's talking about. This survey, who did the survey, Laura?
Yeah, so this was done by Princeton Research, and we took a look at what's going on with life insurance. And Insurance Quotes likes to be in the know, you know, really understand what's behind people's motivation when it comes to insurance. And life insurance is one of these policies that people really overlook. It's one of the most important financial products out there, but it's often overlooked because we are finding out that people just don't value it. I think a lot of people don't understand it. And our most recent survey found that 37% of American adults skip it And as you mentioned, it's not just because of the cost, and also that those in the millennial generation.
Yeah.
So those are the folks 18 to 29, even maybe up into their low 30s. They are particularly vulnerable when it comes to not having life insurance. So yeah. This is a problem we definitely need to address.
Absolutely. And here's first of all, folks, we just passed National Insurance Awareness Day, which was the 28th of June. Okay, that was National Insurance Awareness Day. And I think we need to be aware of what's happening. Now, in my generation, and maybe yours, you wouldn't think of not having life insurance. But that's not what we've taught our millennials, and they think of this differently. Explain that, Laura.
Yeah, I think many of them really don't understand the purpose of life insurance and don't really, they say, well, I'm healthy, I feel good. You know, why do I need to have this?
I'm going to live forever. That's what the kids say. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. Let me stop here for just a minute because I want you to explain to us the importance from your perspective, not only why these kids don't see it, is it our fault? Are we not teaching our young people the importance of it? And if they don't, where are we headed collectively? My guest is Laura Adams, author and spokesperson for the insurance and analyst for Insurance Quotes. We're going to come back and talk about why you don't have insurance and why you may need to have it. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Laura Adams, insurance expert. She is here to talk to us about what a recent study proved, that 37% of American adults skip life insurance. Laura, when I was growing up, that was the last thing you'd do. Everybody had life insurance. I remember the guy coming to the door, collecting those few precious dollars to make sure that the insurance policies were paid up.
Yeah, that is something that used to be very common, the door-to-door life insurance salesman, and we just don't see that anymore. Maybe that's part of the reason why many people are not aware of the product. But it is something that is a real financial safety net. It is something that we need to think about in terms of, you know, not just can I give my spouse or dependent something when I die? I mean, this is really something that can pay for college for kids. It can help parents, perhaps, who are dependent on you. Anybody in your life that is dependent on your assets or your income or who could be hurt financially in any way if you were gone, if you have that situation, you need life insurance. And if you're not, if you're totally an independent person with nobody counting on you, well, maybe then you don't need it.
Okay. And I guess the question is, we always say this, things have changed. And my question is, has anything changed between my generation or older generations and millennials? I mean, what's changed that means that shows or suggests you don't need life insurance?
Yeah, I think there is this sense of I'm going to be fine, I'm healthy, there's nothing, you know, nothing's going to happen to me. But the reality is, even if you're healthy, we know that accidents happen, right? You could be killed in a car accident or some terrible accident. Unfortunately, we hate to think about these things. We don't like to think about worst-case scenarios. But that's part of proper planning, right? We have to think about what could happen. And that's what life insurance is for. It's for protecting those you love if the worst thing that you can ever imagine happens.
And so that hasn't changed. I mean, that's always been on the horizon for any of us. And yet our young people kind of figure like, hey, it's okay. I'm going to be all right. I don't need this. I noted that the study found that it largely the millennial generation, 65%, are involved. They are single, have less formal education, and they make less money, or at least that's part of some of the factors that you found. So make the best case you can for me as a 35-year-old as to why I ought to put down $100 a month for life insurance.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the few policies with insurance that have really not gotten more expensive. We think about health insurance really getting much more expensive over the years and decades. Life insurance is still pretty cheap. You can actually get a really inexpensive policy if you're healthy. Let's say you're in your mid-30s. for about a couple hundred dollars a year, you can get several hundred thousand dollars of life insurance. So it's very inexpensive. In a lot of cases, it's much less expensive than people think. So don't overestimate the cost. That's one tip I would give all the listeners. Really find out what the cost would be, then make a decision whether you want it or not.
And what's the likelihood that I can shape the policy, the life insurance policy, to fit my lifestyle? Does that happen today, or is this a rigid form that says you got to do this, you got to spend this, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, it's very customizable. The cheapest type of policy is going to be term life. And what that means is you get it for a specific term, 10 years, 20 years. And these policies can be customized for things like getting a level term or a level premium that you pay, or even what's called a return of premium, so that at the end of the term, if you're still alive and nobody collected, you can get those premiums back. So there are a lot of different variations on these policies that we can explore, and you know, variations that we have now that maybe weren't around 20 years ago.
Okay, so here, talk to me about this, Laura. I'm 35, I'm 40, whatever, and I just say to you, look, I can put money in the stock market or put it in a savings account and make more and have as much as I'm going to get from life insurance.
Yeah, I'd say in a lot of cases, you can get a lot more from life insurance. If you think about getting a $500,000 payout for your family for just a couple hundred dollars a year, that's a pretty good return. That's not a return that you're likely to get in the stock market.
Okay, so it is comparable in terms of saying it can compete with what the market can return to you, but you just have to figure it out what's best for you. Is that basically where we stand?
That's it, you know, and if you really do believe that you need more than that, you know, you can get even higher amounts of coverage.
Okay, we're talking about life insurance. Do you have any? No. Are you planning on having some? No. But should you? Probably yes. When we come back, we'll find out if it's ever too late to buy insurance. I'm talking with Laura Adams, an expert in life insurance. When we come back, we'll ask her to kind of give us an idea of if it's ever too late. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. Nice to have you with us. We're talking with Laura Adams. We're talking about the fact that this past week was Insurance Awareness Day. Many of you, whether you are aware or not, are not buying insurance. And the question is why? Laura has some ideas as to why you don't buy it, but she also says you ought to buy it. 37% of American adults are skipping life insurance. So are they putting themselves in jeopardy, Laura?
Well, they're definitely putting their loved ones in jeopardy. Once we're gone, you know, it doesn't really matter, but it's about those that you leave behind, right? So we want to make sure that if you've got a partner, a spouse, children, parents, or even friends who you're taking care of, if they would be hurt by your death, then you definitely need life insurance. And I think a tip for folks who are perhaps young and thinking that they're healthy, the younger you are when you buy life insurance, the cheaper it is. So waiting to buy it until, let's say, your kids are older, if you wait too long, your premiums are going to go up. So buying now allows you to lock in some lower prices and makes it more affordable.
Okay, and if I want to find out, how do I reach out to you or other? Where do I find an insurance expert?
Yeah, a great place to start is online. You can go to a site like insurancequotes.com, put in a little information, and get some free quotes for life insurance. And you can look at term life or even permanent policies. Those are policies that will cover you for your entire life if you feel that you need it. Those are a little bit more expensive, but I recommend people start with a term life. Getting those free quotes is the first place to start. Then once you know exactly how much this is going to cost, you can make a good decision about whether it's right for you and your family.
And how do I make sure that I'm dealing with a reputable firm, Laura? How do I make sure that the company that I'm going to, that I'm paying my money into, is going to bring forth the premiums and take care of us?
Yeah, that's very important. So you want to make sure that you are dealing with a reputable brand. You can also look at sites like Moody's and J.D. Power. They have ratings and reviews for insurance companies if you want to do a little bit of research on them.
Listen, I had somebody say to me, well, the reason I don't have insurance, and this, I mean, there are all kind of reasons, and as we've learned, cost is not primarily the reason. They said, well, yeah, but I don't want to be upsold. If I buy life, then they're going to try to sell me all kinds of different insurance policies that I don't think I need. Is that true?
So I think that's a pretty bad excuse, especially when you can do a lot of this online. You know, you don't necessarily have to even see anybody face to face. Now, in some cases for life insurance, they may want you to get a physical. So you may need to go and forward a report from your doctor to prove your health. And if you're in good health, that's a good thing. You want to do that because that's going to help keep your rate low.
Okay. And of course, I think you pointed out that these are convertible. Some, not everything, but many of the policies are convertible into other things that may be helpful to you, annuities, retirement savings. You can do that as well with these policies, right?
That's it. Many of them come with some built-in features so that after the term expires, you can either extend the term or convert them into a permanent policy. So there are a lot of features, and you really do need to speak with somebody about your needs and do your homework. You know, find out all that you can before you jump into a policy.
Yeah, my audience runs from, college kids, high school kids, already up to seniors listening. So when is it too late for me to buy life insurance?
You know, I'd say if you've got folks who are depending on you financially, it is never too late.
Okay.
Now, if you're older and retired and all your kids are grown and you don't have anybody who's depending on you, I would say you really don't need life insurance at that point. But if you've still got people in your family, loved ones who really would be financially devastated by your death or are really hurt in any way, you are a good candidate for insurance.
So the real issue is to evaluate the situation, find out where you are, and not be selfish in terms of how you think about this.
That's it. You know, and even if you are retired, you could get a life insurance policy that would go to your favorite charity or your church. You know, there are other uses for that money if you want to maintain a life insurance policy as you age.
Yeah, and some people do that. Indeed, even leave whatever they have to a charity. The other thing that I've seen very quickly is it says I can sell and make money on my policy. Is that a legitimate thing to do? If I want to sell my policy, can I sell it and get cash for it?
You know, in a lot of cases, it's not a good deal. So
okay.
I wouldn't look at it that way as an investment. I would look at it truly for providing a benefit for those you leave behind after you're gone.
Laura, it's always nice to have you on the program. Laura Adams, if you want to reach out to her, you can through insurancequotes.com, I think. Is that right, Laura?
That's it. Yeah,
okay.
Happy to answer any questions there.
Okay. And folks, you know, at least take a look at it. Figure out what you need or what you don't need, but don't just ignore it, okay? And that's part of why we have this day, to make you aware that, you know, just because it's your granddaddy's thing doesn't mean it's a bad thing, or maybe not even a good thing, but check it out. All right, Laura, thanks so much. Come back and see us again, would you please?
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is Home and Family Finance. Coming up next, Purple Hearts. What is it all about? Stay with us.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, about this time of the year, every year, there is a worthwhile program that goes on that you should know about. And I think it's probably particularly important, or more so this time of the year, because we've just had some changes as it relates to the veterans overall, and that is that there's just a new law signed in effect. And one of the people here to talk about that is John Bercher, but that's really not what he's here to talk about. But we're going to talk about that first because it's important. John, first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Paul. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you in place. Were you excited, upset, angry, pleased with the new rules that have just been signed into place?
I assume you're talking about the extension of the VA.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry.
Law, and it's about time.
Yeah.
I am excited. And I think this is a great first step. There's a lot more that needs to be done, but enacting the Accountability Act to hold those that are responsible for care for our veterans,
yes,
hold their feet to the fire, and if they don't perform, get rid of them.
That's
get somebody
exactly right.
who can.
That's right. Why can't you get rid of somebody that's not doing the job?
Exactly.
You know, especially the job that the veterans do. You know, we don't do our job, we lose our lives. They don't do their jobs. What? They sit around for years to try to move them out of the way. That changes.
Well, you know, the Veteran Administration was now Department of Veteran Affairs, but was set up to take care of those who served and sacrificed their lives to protect the freedoms we all enjoy. And the way that things were going, making people wait till they died, actually, before they could get an appointment at the Veteran Medical Center or wait months anyway to get an appointment, it was just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Waiting years to get a ruling on whether or not you were even eligible for benefits, just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. In that end, it was just horrible. And I think we have a sense and a feeling now that we're going to treat our veterans much better. And I think they believe it. I certainly do. But that's not what John E. Bircher III is here to talk about. He's Public Relations Director for the Military Order of the Purple Heart. And as I said, as I started at this time of the year, you do something very special. Tell us about what you do and tell us who's with you here in studio.
Well, here with me today is John Folsom, who is the Chief Executive Officer and the founder of a wonderful veteran-related charity called Wounded Warriors Family Support. There are some 35,000 little mom-and-pop 501c3s out there today who are offering benefits to our kids who are returning home from war. Many of them are simple things, you know, take a kid for a ride on a horse or up to let's buy them, build them a house. Yeah. So, I mean, there are lots of benefits available today, but this guy has carved out a niche that is really special because it's, as the title implies, Wounded Warriors Family Support, and it focuses on families. And I'd like John to tell you just a little bit about it.
Please, talk to us.
Well, now, thanks,
first
Paul.
First of all, welcome.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. Glad to be here. So what do you want to know?
Well, what I want to know is why are you here?
Well, I'm here because John Bircher told me to be here.
Well, I know that. I mean, John tells everybody. No, what I'm interested in is explaining from your point of view the importance of the organization and what it means to the veterans and the people that you work.
We founded, or I founded, or somebody founded this organization back in 2003 at the kickoff of the March 20th, kickoff of the campaign for OIF, Operation Rocky Freedom. But I came to recognize, I was deployed at the time to Europe. I was monitoring casualties, Marine casualties coming out of the desert. But it didn't take long to figure out that when we have a combat wounded veteran, that young man or woman is certainly affected adversely, but so are the families.
Yeah.
And
What you're saying is more than that young man or woman is serving.
Right.
The family is serving, right?
Yeah. And I've got something I tagged on when I give my stump speech is that when America goes to war, families go to war. And that's beautiful. If you go to our website, what you're going to see.
What's your website, sir?
WWFS.org.
Okay.
Whiskey, Foxtrot, Sierra.org.
All right. Well, John, you didn't bring just one person. You brought two people in. So who's the other person
with
us?
The other one with me today is Clayton Jones.
I'm sorry?
Clayton Jones, who is our one of our past national commanders, but more importantly now is on the board of directors of the Purple Heart Foundation. And it's the Purple Heart Foundation that raises the funds that allow us to serve veterans through our service program, scholarships, VA voluntary service, the many things that we do in our local communities to help veterans, especially those who are Purple Heart recipients.
And we're very pleased, Clayton, to have you with us here. How important is it that the audience, the people, the Americans understand what you're doing, who's doing and why?
Well, first of all, anybody that wonders about what we're doing or how we're doing it, first they need to go to Bethesda, Walter Reed, and see some of the young men and women and what has happened to them. TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, are very, I mean, that's the signature wound this war.
And amputees.
Yes. And I think it's so important to be able to help those people. And I've got a little story I can tell you real quick. Like, I went to Walter Reed, and there was a young Lance Corporal from the Marine Corps that was in Walter Reed just before Walter Reed was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there, and they had it set up, and I went in and saw about four or five veterans. And this guy, young man, had lost both legs and one of his arms. And anyway, he had a girlfriend in there with him, a very pretty young lady.
He didn't lose everything.
Well, I went to San Diego about 3 or 4 months later, and was when the unveiling of the Purple Heart stamp, the Forever Purple Heart stamp.
Right.
And after I got through talking, this young man came up to me, and he said, "Commander Jones," he said, "I bet you don't remember me." And I looked at him, and I said, "I don't remember your face." I said, "I know your face, but I don't know your name." And he told me, and he said, "You came in to see me when I was at Walter Reed." And I said, "Oh, yeah, you had a pretty girlfriend." He said, "Yeah, I did have her." I said, "Where'd she go?" And he said, "She took a walk."
Well, yeah,
anyway,
true life, right? True life.
He said at that time that he was suicidal.
Yeah.
And he was planning on committing suicide because his life was over. And he is now, because what happened to me, he was able to pull off of me what can happen to you.
You're right.
And not commit suicide.
Keep living. Keep living. Listen, this is a wonderful opportunity for us on this program to talk to the gentleman from the Purple Heart Foundation. Our servicemen and women and their families deserve our attention. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guests are here with John E. Bircher, who is the Public Relations Director for the Military Order of the Purple Heart, which is our primary purpose of having these gentlemen here, but we can never do this without reminding you of the stories, of the sacrifices, of the people who have paid the ultimate price and their family members. And that's why we are so pleased to have John here to tell us about this program that happens. It's every year that you guys do some, or this is what, how many years have you done this?
This is now our second year.
Second year of doing it, right? And what are you doing?
This is a program started last year when John Folsom of the Wounded Warriors Family Support, who every year for the last I don't know how many years has had a program called the High Five Tour, where they run a specially equipped modified car around the country to promote mobility is freedom, is really the the centerpiece. And they came to us with the idea of doing a Purple Heart truck run. And last year, we had the first one. We had a modified Ford F-150 truck, which was modified so it could be driven by a paralyzed or an amputee veteran.
Right.
And we spent about 30 days on the road. We went across the country, started at Mount Vernon, George Washington's birthplace.
Right.
Of course, George Washington was the founder of the Purple Heart Medal when he created the Badge of Merit in 1782, which, by the way, was America's first decoration.
Was it?
It was.
Okay.
And so the truck started at Mount Vernon, went across the country to the West Coast, and then back again, ended up at the Iwo Jima Memorial on Memorial Day last year.
Uh-huh.
And we gave the keys to the truck. We had a national competition of nominees to receive the keys to the truck. And we selected a young Marine by the name of Nicholas Tom, who had lost both of his legs and serious injuries to both of his arms in Afghanistan. Again, from an IED, stepping on an IED, the signature wound of these wars.
He was the winner of the truck?
He got the keys to the truck.
And what color is the truck?
It's purple.
Still purple?
It's purple, and it's got beautiful, a big Purple Heart right on the hood of the truck, and now on the hood of the cabin on the back of the truck, and our sponsors are on the sides. And I want
to talk. All right, who are some of the sponsors?
Let's talk a little bit about that too, because The truck itself came from a grant from Ford Motor Company last year when we stopped at the Ford Motor Company plant in Dearborn. Mm-hmm. They gave us
So they donated a truck.
Not donated the truck, but donated us enough money to buy the truck.
Okay, all right. And so they were helpful. Who else is part of your sponsorship?
Marriott Corporation is picking up the tab for all of our stops along the way.
How many stops are you going to make?
45 actual stops, 50 total if you count the ones around the D.C. area.
Okay. Another sponsor is?
Is Pilot Flying J is providing all the fuel for and the food along the way. So some marvelous sponsors this year that we very much appreciate their support.
Clayton, what's the route? You're going to how long is this going to last? How long is this project?
Well, I think we decided on the 12th.
45 days.
Yeah,
the 45 days. Okay. Is there somewhere that you can decide? You can see the schedule where you're going?
Yes. If you go on the Military of the Purple Heart website, purpleheart.org.
Okay. Say that again.
Purpleheart.org.
Purpleheart.org. Right. You go there and you can see the schedule.
You can see the schedule, where it'll be, and we'll have lots of publicity a couple of days in advance at each of the stops. 8,500 miles.
Okay. Starting when? When do you start?
Starts on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at the Iwo Jima Memorial.
So you start on the 2nd of July.
1st of July.
The 1st of July. I'm sorry. The 1st of July. And you go from the 1st of July until the 15th of August.
Right.
And if you go on, you can see the schedule. You can join in and meet the drivers and the trucks and the people at these different locations.
We hope the public will come out, and you'll be given an opportunity to sign the truck if you'd like. We have special pens, and by the time we get back to home base, the truck is just covered with well wishes from people across the country.
That's a phenomenal way to do this. What's your goal?
Well, the first thing is to—
As much as you can make.
The first thing— right? Well, no. Certainly, the donations are a big part of it.
Yeah.
A big part of it. But the main thing is to raise awareness of the sacrifices these kids are making and to how giving them the opportunity to move around. One of our drivers last year made the comment, being able to drive this truck makes me feel like a man again. Mm. Mobility is freedom. They can move.
I love that term. Mobility is freedom, and they can move. And you lose that. And until you just can't imagine the impact on. I've been, by the way, I was at Walter Reed before they moved everything over now to Bethesda. I think is where most of these young men and women are. And my goodness, what an inspiration it is when you go in and you see these people who have every reason to be angry and upset and to drop out, but instead they are striving to get back on. And some of them say, I want to go back in service. I want to serve. I mean, that's just amazing. I love them for that, and I love you guys for what you do. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Purple Heart Foundation, and also the fact that money. We do want money. I don't care what he says. We want to raise as much money as we possibly can. We'll be right back. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. My guest is John E. Bircher, Jr., and a friend of his, Clayton D. Jones. Are you a junior, John, or not?
I'm the third.
You're the third. I'm sorry. Same as junior, just once removed, right, John? We have three gentlemen here who are all part of an organization that we hope that you will support in every possible way, the Purple Heart Foundation, the Military Order of the Purple Heart. And they're beginning on, they began on July 1st. Moving their wonderful truck, which is partially donated by Ford Motor Company and has been adjusted to handle and to meet the needs of a veteran who is wounded, someone who may be an amputee, whatever. Once they decide to give this away in 45 days or so, it will be adjusted to the need of this young man or woman who they choose. Who chooses the John?
Well, we've actually chosen
the recipient
for this year. Again, for the second year, a young Marine living just outside of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay.
And he, again, is a double amputee, lost both of his legs and pretty well messed up his arms as mm-hmm. well. with a wife and three kids, and so can really use this truck.
Absolutely.
And he's going to be coming to Dallas to our national convention this year, and we'll be giving the keys to the truck to him
convention. When is the convention?
It's
in
on the 15th of August.
15th, so you end up in Dallas.
Right.
Okay. Folks, I'm looking at the truck. It's beautiful, parked right outside our door here, and it is just a wonderful example and a wonderful way to remind you of the sacrifice that our sons and daughters are making all across this world as they are required. The truck will leave we'll leave here from Mount Vernon and Goldsboro, North Carolina on Sunday. Charleston, South Carolina on Wednesday, the 5th of July, in Georgia on Saturday. The point being here is that go to the website, which is
purpleheart.org.
Purpleheart.org, wherever you may be listening to us in the United States, and find out when it's going to be coming near you. Illinois, Wisconsin, Tennessee. All over the place, and then you can decide if it's close enough that you can stop by and pay your respects. Now, if it's not close enough to you, where you can't pay your respects in person, then what I want you to think about doing is paying your respects with a dollar or two. And if you go to the website, it'll tell you how to make contact and leave a dollar or two so that they can do even more. Clayton, obviously, in this case, we're talking about the automobile, but there are lots of other ways you can spend the money that you get to make a difference in the life of a vet, right?
Yes, we have scholarships, and you can find that out on the web. We help with a lot of different things in assisting the veteran and his family. We have a service program that represents, at no cost to the veterans, all the legal ramifications going through trying to get a claim taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
And mainly it's out there to serve the veterans.
Folks, if you have not had the opportunity to feel like you're part of supporting our veterans and supporting the work that they do or wherever they may serve, or the active duty folks. This is one way that you can do it, and you know it's going to be so worthwhile. They've got the Wounded Warrior Family Support. They've also got the Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation. So a lot of different ways that you can participate and be of service to those who serve you. Yes, John, I mean...
Well, that was a point that I wanted to make, too, is this is not just military or the Purple Heart doing the truck run. We're doing it in concert with Wounded Warriors Family Support, who really are the ones that made it possible for us to do this. And so as you're looking to make a donation, also consider WWFS.org, Wounded Warriors Family Support, because they're the ones that are helping the caregivers, the families of those who are wounded and injured.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can't forget about them. As I said, sometimes we see those who are involved, but we don't see all of those who are involved. We don't see the family members who are making the sacrifices. And you know where I saw some of that was at the hospital, with the wife there who had been flown in by dollars that had been, and to sit there and be with her husband.
Exactly.
It's tough duty, John. Tough duty. It is a pleasure to have you here sitting. It is an honor, John Clayton, John, to be here, to have you here. I spend a lot of time in this studio wasting time, unfortunately, because a lot of what we talk about is important, but not as important as this, the support of our people that protect us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Good luck with this. Let's make it work out.
Your listeners can also go on Facebook to the Purple Heart Facebook page, and every day we're going to have pictures and a sit rep of everything we've done along the way. So join us on the trip.
Thank you, folks. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. It's been a pleasure. Have a good day.